Today's daf is Pesachim daf Ayin Dalet, and we are at the beginning of a new perek, the seventh perek of Masechtas Pesachim, perek Ketzad Tzoylin, at the very top of daf Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph. Today's daf is being learned as a Zechus Refuah Shleima for Shlomo ben Tzara Aliza and Avadia ben Miriam Leah. Today's daf is being learned Ilui Nishmas Avram ben Yibodol Chaim Toivim Reb Moshe Chaim. So the seventh parak of Masechtas Pesachim is going to continue on the theme of the last few prakim, and that is the halachas of the Karban Pesach. Specifically, the halacha that says that the Karban Pesach had to be eaten roasted. The pasuk in Parshas Boy, when it discusses the laws of the Karban Pesach, says, Al toichlu mimenu na uvasha mevushal b'mayim. You had to make sure that the Karban Pesach was not eaten half-roasted. Additionally, it couldn't be eaten cooked. Okay, so if you can't prepare it half-roasted, you can't cook it, you're not eating it raw, so how are you supposed to eat the Karban Pesach? Says the Torah, ki im tzliyesh. The way the Karban Pesach had to be eaten was roasted, not half-roasted, but completely roasted. Roishai al kro'av v'al kirbay. Its head, together with its knees and its innards, we'll see exactly what that means in the Mishnah. But the pasuk says very clearly, the only way one was allowed to eat the meat of the Karban Pesach was tzli'ish. It had to be roasted. And the question is why? The Chinuch, in Sefer HaChinuch, Mitzvah Zayin says, that the reason is because once upon a time, the kings, when they would sit down to eat meat, they would roast their meat. Lafi shekach derech bnei malachim v'sarim lechol basar tzli. Lafi, and the reason is, shu meichel toiv umutam, because meat tastes best when it's roasted. Aval shara'am, it was the rest of the people that they used to cook their meat. But being that it was kings that used to cook their meat, that used to roast their meat, says the Chinuch, that's why every single year by the Leila Seder eats his meat tzliyesh. Why? Because anu she'ochlen ha-pesach l'zikaron she'yatzanu l'cheiros, because being that we're eating the Karban Pesach as a remembrance that we were freed from Mitzrayim, but we weren't just free, but rather we became kings. Li'ois mamlechas koyanim v'am kodesh v'aday roi lonu l'snai b'achilosei derech cheiros v'saros. So therefore the appropriate thing is for us to eat the way the kings eat, which is to eat the food tzliyesh. And the truth is that this idea is one of the themes in the Sefer HaChinuch when he explains the Tama Mitzvah. For the mitzvah is related to the Karban Pesach. He repeats this again in Mitzvah Tez Zayin. Shaloi lishbar etzem min ha-pesach. He's not allowed to break any of the bones of the Karban Pesach. Why not? Says the Chinuch, she'in derech kavoy l'bnei melochim, v'yoyatzei eretz l'garat somos u'l'shabram k'klovim. Because dogs, when they eat, they break the bones. But it's not the derech for a king to eat that way. And at the Leila Seder, we don't only act as free people, but we actually act as kings. And it's for that reason, it's so important that we eat the Karban Pesach in the way that kings used to eat the Karban Pesach. A king would never eat his meat, no. A king would never eat his meat, bashtol mevushol b'mayim. Had a king eat, kiyem tzli'esh. It's for that reason the Karban Pesach had to be eaten tzli'esh. The first daf of the perek is going to get into some of the more intricate details as it relates to how exactly the Karban Pesach was roasted. Says the Mishnah, how was the Karban Pesach roasted? Mevi'in shvud shel rimon. They would take a spit that came from a pomegranate tree, v'toich v'toich pip, they would stick this stick through the mouth of the animal, at base nekuva, so it would come out the other side of the animal, v'noisen es krov, then the chabura would take the knees of the animal, v'espenei me'ev, and its innards, v'toichai, and they would put it inside the cavity, inside the actual animal. And that's the way it was roasted. Divrei Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi Akiva, Imre, Rabbi Akiva says, Kimit Bishul is that. If you would do that, it's going to look a little bit like Bishul. And it says in the Torah, you're not allowed to eat the Karban Pesach, Mevushal. Now, obviously, this is not Mevushal. You're roasting the animal. However, what's the character trait of Bishul? What makes it unique? You have a pot, and you take the meat, and you stick it inside the pot. Now, the pot has water inside of it. It's on top of a fire. But being that you're taking roishoy, you're taking krov, you're taking bnei meyav of the animal, and you're sticking it inside the animal itself, so the animal is like the proverbial pot with all the meat inside of it. So it says Rabbi Akiva, even though that would seem to be a nice way to do it, but to me, it looks a little bit like Bishul, and it says in the Torah, you're not allowed to eat it, Mevushal. So if that's the case, don't do it this way either. What should you do? Elotoylen chutzalai. What you should do is, you should take roishoy, krov, and kirboy. You should put it on the spit, on top of the actual animal. In other words, machloikis Rabbi Yosi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva, when the Torah says that the Karban Pesach was eaten sli'esh, roishoy al kro'ov al kirboy, what exactly does that mean? Does that mean roishoy, krov, and kirboy were inside the cavity of the animal? Or does it mean it was on top of the animal? Rabbi Yosi Aglili said it was inside the animal. Rabbi Akiva said it was on top of the animal. But one thing everybody agrees with is ketzad tzoyonas ha-pesach. What type of spit, what type of wood was used to roast the Karban Pesach? It was shvud shel rimon. It was the wood that came from a pomegranate tree. The Gemara will explain why. In tzoyonas ha-pesach, says the Mishnah letter, roast the Karban Pesach le'al ha-shvud, v'le'al ha-askulo. Amar Rab Tzadik said, nice Rabbi Gamil. There was a story to Rabbi Gamliel Shamala Tevi Avdoi. He told his Evet Tavi Tsevit Slaylon was a Pesach ala Askulo. He told him, go ahead and roast the carbon Pesach ala Askulo. So, what exactly is an Askulo? The Gemara is going to explain it. Additionally, at first glance, the Mishnah seems to be a story that contradicts the halacha. The Mishnah said, Ain't Soylon as a Pesach ala Askulo. And then Rabbi Tzadik told a story with Rabbi Gamliel, who told his Evet Tavi, go bring an askula so that we should be able to roast the Karban Pesach, which sounds like you can roast the Karban Pesach on an askula. So can you or can you not? That's something that the Gemara is going to discuss in tomorrow's daf. But the first halacha of the Mishnah was that the Karban Pesach had to be roasted. Ki im tzli esh, it says in the Torah. Okay, how was it roasted? Mevi and shvut, that's the first thing. They would bring a spit, this piece of wood. This wood had to be from a rimon, a pomegranate tree. Says the Gemara, why? V'nesi shal matchis. What would be so bad if you took a metal spit? Why did it have to be dafka wood, and why did it have to be the wood of a rimon? Says the Gemara, I did the chamik tzasi chamkulu. The reason is because metal, once a little bit of gets hot, the entire thing is going to get hot. Okay. The kamatvi machvas hashvud. The metal is going to get so hot that the part of the metal that's underneath the animal is going to be hot to the point that it's going to be able to roast the animal. And what's going to then happen is the animal, the Karban Pesach, is not going to be roasted by the fire, but it's going to be roasted by the spit that became hot through the fire. V'rachmona Omar, and the Torah said, Sli Eish, V'loit Sli Machmas Dover Achar. This is Toldos Eish, that's not Eish itself. It says in the Torah that the meat has to be roasted from the fire, not roasted from something that became hot from touching the fire. And the reason this is a concern, just to learn the Gemara properly, Aidi Decham Miktsosei Cham Kula. Meaning, if you didn't have the Metzias, then when a little bit of the spit gets hot, that necessarily means that the whole spit's going to get hot, it wouldn't be a problem, because the part of the spit that has the food on top of it is not directly being exposed to the fire. But it being that it's inevitable that a part of it will be exposed to the fire, and Aidi Decham Miktsosei Cham Kuloi, so even the part that's underneath the food is going to now become hot, it's then going to roast the food that's on it. What's going to happen is it's going to be Tzli, but not Tzli Eish. It's going to be Tzli Machmas Dover Achar, and that's the problem. Okay, so we understand why you can't use Matkos, V'nei Shaldeko. Why can you use from a palm tree? So the Gemara says, Aidi de Isle Shivi, because a palm tree has grooves in it, it has holes in it, Mafik Maya. So as it is roasting, water is going to come out of it. The water is then going to attach itself to the meat, v'havikim avushal. And that's going to be a little bit like bishul, because when you cook something, there's always water. So it's going to resemble bishul a little bit, even though it's not real bishul, but it's going to resemble bishul, and it says in the Torah, al-tayich l'mimenu no, bashul mavushul b'mayim. See, we don't want to roast the Karban Pesach in a way where it's going to resemble bishul. Freitim rov nesi shal te'ena, why can't you take from a fig tree? So the Gemara says, similar, Aidi the Mechalchel, being that it's hollow on one side, Mafik Meyer, again, some liquid's going to come out, Avlikim and Vishal, it's going to look like Bishal. V'nesi shal aloin, shal chro, v'shal shikmo. Why can't you bring from some of these other trees? So the Gemara says, Aidi this Bekitri, because those trees, those branches have knots in them. So what you're going to have to do in order to use it as a spit, if you're going to want to put meat on it to use it to roast, you're going to have to cut off the knots. When you cut the knots off, there's going to be holes, Mafik Meyer, water's going to come out, and again, it's going to look like Bishal. Read my Nami, is Bekitri, faith the Gemara. If that's true, the Metzias is a pomegranate. And branch also has these knots. So the Gemara says it's true, it has knots, but shiye kitri. The knots are smoother. As a result, you don't have to remove them, you don't have to cut them off in order for you to be able to use it as a spit, if that's the case. So if there's not going to be any liquid, it's not going to resemble bishul, you don't have to worry about the ibay yisneim, or you could say that when the Mishnah said, mevin shvul chalrima, what does it mean? Binavko bar shasa. It means a younger pomegranate tree, the lesba kitri, that doesn't have any knots. Freit the Gemara, va'iko be paske. Inevitably, being that this branch came from a tree, so when you cut the branch off on one side, it's going to be a little bit hollow. Meaning, if you're worried about any crack, any hole, any loch inside this branch. Why? Because some liquid's going to come out, it's going to secrete, and it's going to make it look a little bit like Mishnah saying, how are you taking a branch? You take a branch, you rip it off a tree. So there's a little hole where the branch was attached to the tree. So why aren't you worried that liquid's going to come out from there? So the Gemara says, the Teretz is the mafik lepiski labar. What you have to do when you roast the Karban Pesach is you have to make sure that the hollow part, the part of the branch that was attached to the tree, is facing downward. It's not facing the fire. It's not facing the meat. So even though it's true on some level, inevitably something's going to come out, but it's going to pour in the opposite direction. If it goes in the opposite direction, it's not something that we are worried about. Can't be metal. It has to be wood. Not just any wood. It has to be the wood of a rimoy. And a one shot in the Gemara, even a young pomegranate tree. This mishnah is not like Rabbi Tanya. We're going to the price. Just like if you would take a spit that's made of wood and you would expose it to fire, the wood would not burn. In the same vein, if you would take a metal spit and you would expose it to fire, it wouldn't get completely hot. Meaning, the part of it that's exposed would be hot, but the rest of it would not be hot. They told him, it's not true. There's a difference between metal and wood. Wood, it's true, it won't burn, but at the same time, there's no mitzias where if some of it gets hot, all of it is going to get hot. Whereas when it comes to matches, there's an idea of cham miktsasei cham kuloi. For whatever reason, Rabbi Yehuda didn't subscribe to cham miktsasei cham kuloi, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda's shita was that shvud shel matches is kosher to use to roast the Karban Pesach. If the Mishnah says Ketz Tzayin Lenas HaPesach Mevi'in Shvut Shal Rimoin, not Matchis, that was the first thing in the Gemara, Vin Esi Shal Matchis. And the Mishnah obviously holds you can't bring Matchis, so that obviously is the Loik in Rabbi Yehuda. So we have the first Machloikis as it relates to Ketz Tzayin Lenas HaPesach, and that is a Stam Mishnah Keneged Rabbi Yehuda. The Stam Mishnah says, how did they roast the Karban Pesach? Mevi'in Shvud Shal Rimoin. So usually we associate Rimoin, the pomegranate, with Rosh Hashanah. So now there's an association between the pomegranate and Pesach. They used to use wood from a pomegranate tree, and that's the way they used to roast the Karban Pesach. Rabbi Yehuda argued. Rabbi Yehuda said it didn't have to be pomegranate wood, but rather you were able to use matches, you were able to use metal as well. But there was another Machloikis. That Machloikis was mentioned in the Mishnah. And that is when it says in the Torah, Ki imtzliyesh, the Karban Pesach had to be roasted, roishoy al krov v'al kirbov. So the question is, what exactly was done with the krov and the kirbov? Rabbi Yosi Aglili said in the Mishnah, they would shecht the Karban Pesach, now you have this big opening inside the animal, and take krov and kirbov, the knees and the intestines, and stick it inside. Rabbi Kiva said that resembles Bishul, that's a problem. Looks a little bit like the animal is the pot, and now the meat is inside the pot. Rather, what are you supposed to do? Toilin chutzalah. You should put krov and kirbov on top of the animal on the spit itself. And a machlekes, Rabbi Yisraeli and Rabbi Akiva, had to roast the Karban Pasach, and really, a machlekes had to read the pasuk. The pasuk says, kiyim tzliyesh, roishoy, al krov, al kirbov. The question is, how do you read the pasuk? Zok the Gemara Tanya. Bryce that discusses as well. Rabbi Shmuel, kireo tuch tuch. Rabbi Shmuel used to refer to the Karban Pesach as tuch tuch. Now, tuch tuch, Rashi says, is the sound that food makes when it cooks. We've seen this already earlier in some Gemaras, that the noise that Chazal used to use to describe cooking was tuch tuch. And Rabbi Shmuel used to use the word tuch tuch to refer to the Karban Pesach. Why was he saying that? So he was trying to say that the Karban Pesach was roasted in a way that resembled cooking, because Rabbi Yishmael held, like Rabbi Yossi Aglili, that they actually used the animal as a cavity. They used it as a pot, quote unquote. He doesn't hear that it resembles cooking a little bit, but the point is he used the sprach, tuch tuch, to say that on some level this roasting resembles cooking. Rav Tarfin, however, koireo gedima kulas. He used to refer to the Karban Pesach as a goat that's wearing a helmet. What was he trying to say? That when the pasuk says roishay al krov al kirbov, it means that they used to put it on top of the animal. It wasn't supposed to be inside. Rav Tarfin held like Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah. So Rabbi Shmuel held like Rabbi Yosi Aglili in the Mishnah, and Rav Tarfin held like Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah. Tanu Rabbanan, is that gedima kulas? What's an example of a gedima kulas that we just mentioned? Gedima kulas, that's what Rav Tarfin used to describe the Karban Pesach as. The Gemara is bringing a brisa now that actually describes the Karban Pesach as being a gedima kulas. So the brisa says, what's an example of a gedima kulas? The asalecha b'leilei psachim. They now let it eat b'leil Pesach b'zman hazeh. So this is referring back to what we discussed earlier in the Masechta in Perek Makom Shenagu, where we saw that there were different minhagim in Klal Yisrael, whether or not you could eat roasted meat Belel HaSeder or not. There were those that felt you should eat roasted meat, Zeichel LeKarban Pesach. There were those that felt to the contrary, you're not allowed to eat roasted meat. Why? Because it looks a little bit like you're bringing a Karban Pesach B'chutz. So this price is discussing those that had the minig not to eat roasted meat, and it's going into it in greater detail. So what's an example of a G'dima Kulos that you're not allowed to eat Belel Pesach, even Bizmanas Kosher Tzolei Kulikach? So the Loch is, it's if you roasted the entire animal in one shot, that's when it's a problem. If, however, you cut off an aver, or if you cut off an aver and then you cooked it, ain't G'dima Kulos, that's not included in this Isra of G'dima Kulos. So the Gemara asks an obvious question. Meaning, the Braisa gave two examples of when you're not included in the Avera of G'dima Kulos. Number one, if you cut off an aver. Number two, if you cut off the aver and then you cooked it, what's the kasha? Hash to yesh loy man nechtach mimenu aver. Da'afa gafta kom natfile behede amrit loy. Nishlik mi boy. If when you cut it off and don't cook it, it's already not a G'dima Kulos. And certainly if you cut it off and you cook it, it's not a G'dima Kulos. G'dima Kulos is eating the animal roasted. So we're saying only if it's intact. If, however, you would cut off a piece, it's not a problem. Sounds like even if you would roast it. Then it says, if you cut off a piece and you would cook it, yeah, of course. If you cut it off and roast it, it's not a G'dima Kulos, even though you really did roast the entire animal. Certainly, if you cut it off and you cook it, it shouldn't be a problem. Rav Sheshes said, the way you have to read the Braisa is, Shashalke v'mechobor. We're talking about two different things. Ezel G'dima Kulos, that's if you roasted the whole thing in one. If, however, you cut it off and roasted it, or if you didn't cut it off and you cooked one of the evarim, meaning shesholkoi, not after you cut it off, rather shesholkoi mechuber, even one of those cases would be an example where it's not a problem. But again, why did we bring this braisa? For not one reason. We're just showing from here that there's a braisa that referred to the Karban Pesach as a G'dima Kulos. Who used to refer to the Karban Pesach as a G'dima Kulos? That was Reb Tarfin. Why did he refer to it as a G'dima Kulos? Because he's trying to teach that when the Pasuk says, Kiyim Sliyesh, Roishoi, Al Kura'ov, the Al-Kirboi, it meant that those parts of the animal should be on top of the Karban Pesach, not inside the Karban Pesach, like Rabbi Yisrael Glili said, and like Rabbi Yishmael said, but rather on top of the Karban Pesach, like Rabbi Akiva said. Zok de Gemara. We're going to go a little bit me'inyan le'inyan. Amar Rabba. Rabba said, Hai mul yiso, if you have stuffed meat, shari, the halacha is, you're allowed to roast the meat, and you're allowed to eat it. Now, the context of this halacha is really not Mesachtes Pesachim, but it's more Mesachtes Chulin. We know, this is Yoredeya 101, that in order to eat meat, you need to first salt the meat. Melicha, it's part of the kashering process of meat. And the reason that you have to salt the meat is because meat has dam that's absorbed inside of it. And dam is something that a yid's not allowed to eat. In fact, there's a chayde krisos if a yid eats dam. B'shoigig, if you eat dam, you have to bring a chatas. The meat, which naturally has blood inside of it, therefore it has to go through a kashering process where you extract the meat and only then you're allowed to eat it. So how do you extract meat? It's through the process of salting. Now, salting is different for meat that's going to be cooked versus meat that's going to be roasted. If you're going to cook the meat, you have to salt it more. If you're going to roast the meat, you have to salt it less. The reason is because when you roast something, it's more directly exposed to the fire. The ash is considered to make a greater impact on the food. And as a result, it in and of itself is going to kasher the meat on some level. So the level of kashering that needs to be done for meat really depends on how you're going to prepare the meat. If you're going to cook it, the melicha has to be a little bit more aggressive. If you're only going to roast it, not as bad. Rabbo said a chiddush. And this chiddush is going to take us till the end of the daf. He said, what would be if somebody has meat and he now stuffed it with other meat? Now, you're going to take the entire recipe and you're going to roast it. But really, it's the meat that's to the outside that's going to make direct contact with the fire that's being roasted in the traditional sense. The stuffing, that meat, is inside the meat that's being roasted. So here's the question. From a Hilchas Melicha perspective, what level of kashering do I need to do for the meat that's the quote-unquote stuffing? So Rabbi said, that really all you need to do is you need to roast, you have to salt and kasher this meat the same way you would kasher any meat that you were roasting. And the fact that this is stuffing, the fact that the meat that's the stuffing resembles meat that's being cooked, right? That's similar to our shmuz. It's inside the meat, which makes it therefore feel a little bit like it's inside a pot, which would maybe make it resemble cooking, which would make you think that maybe you need more melicha. Rabbi said it's not something that you have to worry about. Amalei Abayah. Abayah told Rabbi, I hear it, very nice. You look at it as if you're roasting everything, and therefore in Hilchas Melicha, you treat it as regular food that's being roasted. He said, but I have one problem. You know what the problem is? What happens when you salt meat? When you salt meat, the dam comes out. Okay, where's the dam going to go now? So if I'm salting meat that's inside other meat, so l'chayre, the meat that's to the outside is going to end up being bileya, the dam that came out. So if it's going to end up being bileya, the dam that came out, so really you're taking the meat from what the dam from one piece of meat, you're putting it into another piece of meat. At the end of the day, how are you allowed to eat this? Amalei, so Rabbi told Abayah, kiboy l'kach polta. That's not a problem. Because it's true. What are you worried about? That the outer meat is going to be bileya from the stuffing? It'll be bileya, but then it's going to be pilate, meaning it's going to absorb it. But then it's going to excrete it. So you have nothing to worry about. Eventually, it's going to be out. And if it's going to be out, it's not something that's an issue. So, look, name him as Sayela. The Chumri could bring a raya. From where? From our Mishnah. Noisin as Krov, as Bnei Emei of Lutoicha Rebesach. He said that when they used to roast the carbon Pesach, so they would take the animal and they would stuff the animal with Krov and Bnei Meiv. And then they would roast it. What's the kasha? How you let it roast it? What happened to the Malicha? What happened to kashering? My time, why aren't we concerned that the Krov and the Bnei Meiv are now going to be poilate into the carbon pasach, into the gedi, into the keves? And then what's going to happen is now you're going to end up with blias of dam inside the carbon pasach. Oh, the teretz is, must be, because we say kaboilate. It's true, it might be bileya, but for the same price, it's also going to be pilate. So says the Gemara, L'chur, it's a riot in Rabbi's Chiddush. Amri, the Gemara says, you can't bring a riot. Shani, also, keeping the Ika base Hashchita, the Machalko, being that over here there's a base Hashchita, right? You're dealing with an animal that you just slaughtered, which means it has a huge incision. It just literally was slaughtered, went through Shchita. So made of Daivi, so it couldn't be the dam that you're worried about is going to end up flowing out, and if the dam flows out, this is not something you have to worry about anyway. So my name is, maybe you can bring your right from somewhere else. Halev koiroi, umoitzi yas dami. The heart needs to be torn. When you kasher the lave, the heart of an animal, so you have to tear it first, and you have to remove the dam. Let's say you didn't tear it, and then you cooked it. So it's fine, you can tear it after you cooked it already, and you can remove the dam then. Umoter, frank to gemara, my time, poison mutter, lechura, why aren't you worried that the dam ended up being absorbed weiter inside the lathe, and you're going to end up having blias of dam? It must be because anything that you're worried about might have been bileya dam during the same process of it being bileya, it would have been pilot, and as a result, it shouldn't be a problem. So again, isn't this a raya? Again, what are we bringing a raya to? That any time you're concerned that there may have been a bileya, you always temper that by saying, well, if there was a bliya, then there was a plate. And if there was a plate, then you have nothing to worry about. So then why should we be worried about the bliya? So isn't this a raya? The Gemara says, no raya, shani lev the shia. Again, a lot of metzias in this Gemara. The heart is very smooth. It's not bileya. So it's not. There's no raya. Could be if it was bileya, you wouldn't say that kiboy loy kach polta. But the reason is that being that the heart, just the metzias of it is that it's smooth. It's not bileya, being that it's not bileya, so therefore you have no right. Says the Gemara v'harov in sabo. Now usually when the Gemara says v'ha, it's lashon bitmia, right? But Rashi says that this next Gemara is v'siyata l'rabba. We're not asking a kashna rabba. We're actually bringing a raya to rabba. So for hatanya, for example, often means a kashna, but then sometimes Rashi will say the word v'atanya is benichusa. But this you don't see every day. V'harov in sabo, and it means I'll bring you a raya. Tafle Yahu bar Goizel, he once breaded a goose. The Rav, he was preparing food for Rav. Amalei, and he told him, imayli tafli havli ve'echel. So Rav told Ravin, says, why don't you taste the food first before you feed it to me? And if it tastes good, I'm going to have some as well. Now, what's the chiddush? The chiddush is that he was roasting this food, and l'chayra, the dam, is going to now be balua inside the breading on top of this goizel. So why wasn't Rav and Ravin worried about eating this food? L'chayra, the breading itself is going to end up having blias of dam, right? That tzli is going to end up causing dam to come out. Okay, so where's the dam going? So usually the tummy goes into the fire, but now you have the breading. It's going to end up in these breadcrumbs. So if that's the case, why are you worried about that? So the Gemara says, I hebesmida the mefar, because it was talking about where the breadcrumbs was soilless, Rashi says. It was very fine flour. Very fine flour. It doesn't have the ability to absorb. So the memela, the dam went right through it. It ended up in the fire. You don't have to worry about blias. Meaning there's no raya that the reason it was okay was kaboyle kachpote. Maybe there is no svar kaboyle kachpote. Maybe you have to be concerned that it's bileya, and you don't have a right to say that it's going to be poyel. But this was a different svar. If a Rava says the Gemara ichlo be'reish galusa, Rava was once by reish galusa, and this really is a kasha. V'tafu le baravzo, and they bred it a baravz of him. Amar, he said, if I didn't see that the gravy was so white, it looked like clear glass, like achlemine. He said, I wouldn't have eaten from it. Meaning he was looking very closely. He wanted to make sure that there was no blias of dam here. Because if there was any blias of dam, then he would have been afraid to eat it. What's the kash? If you're going to tell me that my area kizig, I feel like you're zig nami. So what was he worried about? He's worried that some of the food that was inside this tafsho maybe was by leia the dam. If it was by leia the dam, it would have been maflet the dam. At the end of the day, you shouldn't have to worry about it. He was looking very closely to see if there were blias. What was he looking to see if there were blias? Let's say there were blias. Okay, same can boil like kach paltoi. So the Gemara says, Hasan bechevartin. Because there it was talking about a different type of flour, very white flour, the sharer. This flour is kosherash, it's very hard. It would be bailea, but it wouldn't be paltoi. So ordinarily, you say can boil like kach paltoi. But in this last Gemara, we saw there's two different types of flour. There's a flour that is so fine that it's not even bailea. Then there's a flour that can be bailea, but wouldn't have the ability to be paltoi. Ordinarily, can boil like kach paltoi. But clearly, you have to read the fine print is not always the halacha. So what's the bottom line? The smida, as it relates to fine flour, bein asmik, bein loy asmik shai, it's always going to be mutter. Doesn't matter what color anything is, it's always going to be okay. The chevarta, if it's white, izik hezuga, if it's the white flour, izik hezuga chevara shai. If what this deer is so clear, it looks like this clear glass, since clearly there's no blood over there, it's going to be moti. What happened to Kibay the Kach Paltai? Oh, because this flour is very hard, it's Bailea, but we don't necessarily assume that it's Bailea. The Shark Machem, as it relates to ordinary flour, not this super fine flour, and not this very hard flour, so then the Allah is Asmik Asalay Asmik Shah. Then you have to look at the color. If the color looks red, looks like we have a problem, looks like it was Bailea done, and if not, it's going to be Mutter. Me'inyan le'inyan. Hay Mulyasa, as it relates to Mulyasa. So again, what's so you have an animal, you're roasting the animal, you stuff the animal with meat. Says the Gemara, Manda Asar, the one that said that it's Asar, meaning what's Asar? He's worried that when you now roast the animal, the dam that's inside the meat that's inside the animal, meaning the meat that's the stuffing, is going to be pilate dam, and the animal itself is going to end up absorbing it. Now, Rabbi said, don't worry about that. Because if you're worried that the animal is going to be bailea the dam, at the same time it's bailea, it's going to be piloted. So it's a revolving door. So you have nothing to worry. It's bailea, but it ends up spitting it out. But says the Gemara, not everybody held like Rabbi. So Haimuli is a man to us, whoever holds us, meaning not like Rabbi, he would say it's us, even if the incision is facing downwards. I mean, he doesn't care where the incision, the opening of this cavity is. I mean, that's neither here nor there. Man the Shari, the one that says it's mutter, afilu pumal il, even if it's upwards, v'hilchasa, what's the halacha like Rabba? Mulyas Shari, and like we just said, afilu pumal il, that the man that says mutter doesn't matter where it is, either way it's going to be okay. More on this topic. Umtsa, beyi, umizraki. So umtsa is a piece of meat that's very red. The assumption is that there's a lot of blood there. Beyi are the testicles of the animal. And mizrkni is referring to the arteries of the animal. Pligi bar Rav Acha v'Ravina. Those machlekes Rav Acha and Ravina. Says the Gemara. B'chol ha-teru kulo. In kol ha-teru kulo, Rav Acha l'chum Ravina l'kulo. The hilchas Ravina l'kulo. Meaning, if you go through all different machlekes in Rav Acha and Ravina, what you're going to find is the Rav Acha is the machmer, Ravina is the Mekel, and if we pass like Ravina, that's the Mekel. Mahani class. With the exception of these three halachas, Rav Acha l'kula, here Rav Acha is the Mekel, Ravina l'chum, Ravina is the Machmer, the Hilchas like Rav Acha l'kula, and we paskin like Rav Acha l'kula. Okay, so what's these three machloikas in where Ravina is the Machmer, Rav Acha is the Mekel, and that we paskin like Rav Acha l'kula? So says the Gemara. Number one, hi umtso. If you have umtso, this very red piece of meat, the asmik, that's very, very red. Now you want to kasher it. So how are you supposed to kasher it? The first thing you have to do is you have to cut it. So ordinarily, you don't have to cut meat in order to kasher it. You just expose it to salt, and that in and of itself is going to be okay. But being that this meat is so red, there's so much blood inside, so you're going to have to work a little harder. You have to make sure you're really taking all of it out. So the first thing you have to do is you have to cut it. Malchit, then you salt it. And once you do that, I feel like there is sure you can even cook it, and it's going to be okay. Shafte b'shvuda. If, however, you decided not to cook it, but rather you put it on a spit and you want to roast it, shari, then the halacha is that it's mutter even without cutting it. You don't just salt it the way you would usually salt it, and that's going to be okay. Why? Because made of dayev, because we assume that any dam is going to end up flowing out. achse agumri, what would be if you put it directly on the coals? So you would think that's the best, right? Now it's going to be the hottest. Pligi barav achra minute. This is where the machlokes with chadas. One said it's us v'chad shari. The other one said it's mandas. One that said it's us and matz mitzamis. Because being that it's so hot, what it's going to do is it's going to cause the meat to start getting small. It's going to cause it to shrivel, and it's actually not going to do what it's supposed to do. It's not going to cause the dam to come out. Manda shari, the manda that says it's mutter mishav shav. The dam is going to come out. The hilchasa. We said the hilchasa is lekula mishav shav, and therefore, if you would roast the meat directly on the coals, the halacha would be you don't have to worry about the isna dam. So this was the first of the three machlokes. And what's the second one? The chen bei, the testicles of the animal. It's the same exact thing. Chatchinu malchinu afilu k'der sharyin. If you cut it and you salt it, you could put it even in a pot. Polinu b'shvud, if you put it on a spit, sharyin, it's going to be mutter made of diet. Achtinu agumri, if you put it directly onto the coals. Again, pligi barav achav ravi. The same machlok. It's chad also. One said it's also. V'chad shor. The other man never said it's mutamand also. The one that said it's also mitzvah sabbos. Because it's so hot that it's going to cause it to shrink. And as a result, it's going to not extract the dam. Man the shori. The one that says it's mutam mishav shav. It is going to extract the dam. As a result, it's going to be okay. V'chein mizriki. The same is true with these major arteries. Chatche. If you cut it. Umalche. Then you salt it. Afilu l'kdei reshari. Then you're allowed to even cook it. You have nothing to worry about. Tal yibishvuda, if you're going to roast it on a spit, then you don't have to cut it. Rather, beis hashchita l'tatoi. If the beis hashchita, the place of the incision of the animal, is facing downwards, shari, then it's going to be mutter, because made of doiv. Because then we assume that all the dam is going to end up going out. Achte agumri, if you put it directly onto the coals, pligi rav achav ravina. That's where we have this machlok. Chad also one said it's going to be asa, chad shoy one said it's going to be mutam. Manda also the manda one said it's asa mitzvah sovus. He says because what's going to end up happening is it's going to end up shrivel. Manda shoy the one that says it's mutam mishav shoyev. It's going to be okay because what's going to happen is the dam is going to come out the hilchasa. And what's the halacha mishav shav? We assume that the dam is going to come out, and as a result, it's going to be mutter. Again, more on this topic. Hay umtsa naasmik. If you have this piece of meat that's very, very red, this was the first of the three cases that Ravina and Rav Acha argued about. Chalya asa. If you soak it in vinegar, the vinegar is now going to be asa. Rashi has two pshat on what this means. This is Rashi's second pshat. That if you soak it in vinegar, the vinegar is going to be awesome. Loy asmik. If, however, this umtsa, this piece of meat, is not that red, and then you soaked in a vinegar, chal yashari. The vinegar is going to be mutter. Ravina, Ravina says, afil loy asmik, nami chal yashari. Even if you didn't, the vinegar is going to be awesome. Why? Because the efshad lespa shereik yudam. Because you always assume that there's a little bit of dam, and the vinegar is going to cause the dam to come out. Now, the Rishonim Tosfos has a big problem with this Gemara, very obvious problem that we're not going to discuss. But just to mention it, and that is, we just said that this umtsa, the asmik, that once you salt it, at that point, it's kosher. You're allowed to eat it. So if you're allowed to eat it, how's it possible that if you soak it in vinegar, the vinegar is not going to be okay? If you soak kosher meat in vinegar, how's it possible that the meat is kosher, but somehow the vinegar is going to be a problem? So there's a long Tosfos that discusses this. Ayin Shom. Amalei Mar Barame Mele Rav Ashi. Mar Rav Ashi told Rav Ashi, Abba Megamalei Gamuei. Abba, he's talking about his father. His father was Mir Ameima. Amemar, right? This is Mar Bar Amemar. He used to swallow. He used to eat this vinegar. He didn't have a problem with this. My son is Rav Ashi Gufa Megamalei Gamuei. It was Rav Ashi that used to do it. Amalei Mar Bar Amemar Rav Ashi Abba. Hay Chalo De Cholot Bei Chod Azimno. Tztuloi Tani Cholot Bei. That once he would use vinegar to soak meat in it once, so he wouldn't use it a second time. He wouldn't use it a second time. So he told him, Hay Shlomi Chalo Metama De Chalti Nebe. He says, I don't understand. He would soak his meat sometimes in weak vinegar. So what's the difference between using weak vinegar and vinegar that's being used some tzveitinmal? So the assumption is that you're using the vinegar over here as part of the salting process, part of the kashering process. So he said that to use vinegar that was once used, that he wouldn't do. But to use weak vinegar, he would. So he said, what's the difference between the two? So he told him, Hasam ise l'kihuya de peyre be'ene. Achalesa l'kinyuna de peyre be'ene. There's a difference between natural weak vinegar versus vinegar that's being used for the second time. When it's being used for the second time, it loses some of its potency. If, however, it's not being used for the second time, even if it's a little bit schwach, at the very least, it's going to end up doing what it's supposed to do. And it's for that reason it's going to be okay. Exhale. So just to go back to the sugya that was the topic of the last two dafin, which took up a lot of time, and as a result, we didn't have an opportunity to speak on any raid, and that is the halacha of a ta'a bedvar mitzvah. So the topic of Psachim Daf Ayin Beis and part of Daf Ayin Gimel was the machloikis between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. If somebody does an Avera B'shoigik, an Avera that had he done B'mezid, he would have been Chayiv Kar. So the halach is, he has to bring a Karban Chatas. Stating that, Rabbi Yeshua says, that if the reason you did an Avera B'shoigik was because in your mind you were doing a mitzvah, so you have a din of a Ta'a B'dvar mitzvah. And a Ta'a B'dvar mitzvah, says Rabbi Yeshua, he learns it from a drasha, in Masech Neshabbos, Dav Kuf Lamed Zayin Amad Aleph, is potter from bringing a Karban Chatas. Rabbi Eliezer argues, he says, at the end of the day, you do an Avera B'shoigig, that had you done the mezid, you would have been Chayiv Karas, the halach is, you have to bring a Karban Chatas. It's Rabbi Yeshua's Chiddush, that he holds that a Ta'a B'dvar mitzvah is going to be potter from bringing a Karban Chatas. And in the Gemara, we saw two examples, two applications of where Rabbi Yeshua said the Salach. The first one was our sugi, the Mishnah Daf Ayin Aleph Amud Beis. It's Erev Pesach. It's Yud Dal and Nisan Shecholiyos B'Shavus. You have to bring the Karban Pesach, which is Doicha Shabbos. And by mistake, a Koyen brought a Karban Shlomim, thinking that it was a Karban Pesach. Being that Shlomim is not Doicha Shabbos, it comes out that he did Shechita, Shaloi b'makom mitzvah, which means it was Mechal Shabbos. He did a b'shoigig. As a result, you would think he should be Chayiv Chatas. Stating that, Rabbi Shmuel says, being that in his mind, he was bringing a Karban Pesach. In his mind, he was doing a mitzvah. So he was a Ta'a, but b'dvar mitzvah. And a Ta'a b'dvar mitzvah says Rabbi Shmuel doesn't bring a Karban Chatas. Another example of this is the Mishnah in Masechta Shabbos, Taf Kuf Lamed Zayin. The Mishnah over there was discussing a mohel that had to do a bris milah on two babies. One bris milah had to be done on Friday, the other one had to be done on Shabbos, or one had to be done on Sunday, and one had to be done on Shabbos. And this mile got mixed up between the two babies, and he ended up doing not the milah that was supposed to be on Shabbos, but he did the milah that was supposed to be either Erev Shabbos or on Sunday on Shabbos. Meaning he did a milah shaloi bismani on Shabbos. Milah shaloi bismani is not toicha Shabbos. Milah involves Chil Shabbos. So to the extent that it's not Doicha Shabbos, it comes out this person, the Moil, was Mechal Shabbos. Now he did a B'shoigig. So you would think he has to bring a Karban Chatas. Stating that, Rabbi Shua says he's a Ta'a B'dvar Mitzvah. And because he's a Ta'a B'dvar Mitzvah, he's not going to be obligated to bring a Karban Chatas. We saw Rabbi Yochanan in the Gemara on Daf Ayin Beis Amud Beis, who said that if somebody has a Mitzvah of Yibam to do, and he was Mekayim the Mitzvah, Yevama Yavo Yaleha. However, B'shoigig found out afterwards that the Yavama was a Nida. Nida is a Chayvi Krisos. Nida B'shoigig has to bring a Karban Chatas. Said Rabbi Yochanan, he's a Ta'a B'dvar Mitzvah. And because he's a Ta'a B'dvar Mitzvah, maybe, one Pshat in the Gemara, so this person would have an obligation, would be potter from bringing a Karban Chatas. Why? Because even though technically he did something for which he should be chayv to bring a Karban Chatas, but he's a Ta'a B'dvar Mitzvah. He was doing the Mitzvah of Yibam. Ta'a B'dvar Mitzvah, that's Rabbi Yeshua Shita. The halach is, he's potter from bringing a Karban Chatas. We saw another example of it. And that was a Mishnah in Masechta Sukkah Daf Mem Aleph Amud Beis that the Gemara brought fleetingly. Rabbi Yossi said, if the first day of Sukkot was Shabbos, a Yid, by mistake, took his lulav, and he walked the shul with it, derech harishos harabim, nalachin he would be potter. And even though he was mechal Shabbos, b'shoigik, and ordinarily you'd say he's chayv chatas, however, because in his mind he was doing a mitzvah, and being that he was doing a mitzvah, he was a tabit var mitzvah, and a tabit var mitzvah is potter from bringing a karma chatas. Again, it's Rabbi Yeshua with regards to Karban Pesach, it's Rabbi Yeshua with regards to Bris Mila, it's Rabbi Yochanan with regards to Yevimtoi Nida Baal Potter, and it's Rabbi Yossi with regards to somebody that carries his lulav on Sukkot Shecholias B'Shabbos. If he did it by mistake, the halach is he would be potter from ringing the Karban Pesach, so with that background, there's a fascinating Rav Bar Tanura in the beginning of Masechta Shabbos. So Masechta Shabbos begins, Yitzias HaShabbos, Shtayim Shein Arba Befnim, V'Shtayim Shein Arba Bechotz. It begins discussing the Melacha of Aitzah. And the Mishnah says there's some times where a person can do Aitzah and he's going to violate Aitzah Medei Reis. And then there are times where a person can do Aitzah and he's only going to violate Aitzah Medei Rabban. And the Mishnah goes on and explains. It was a person that was standing inside. There was a person that was standing outside. If the person that was standing inside picked up an item and he put it down outside by handing it to this person, he did that Kira and Danocha. So he's Michal Shabbos Midei Reis. So if one person did the Akira, the other person did the Hanocha, so then each one's going to be Pata. Which means if you did it when you were Michal Shabbos, Midday Raisa, if you did it b'mezi, you'd be chayv Koras, and you'd be chayv Skil. If you did it b'shoyi, you'd be chayv Chatas. A whole Mishnah, Shnayim Shem Arba Befniv, Shnayim Shem Arba Bechutz, a whole bunch of different cases that discuss the Malacha of Eitzah. But the Mishnah, when it mentioned the fact that there was somebody standing inside and somebody standing outside, explains it as follows. Ketzan, Ha'oni Oymed Bechutz. The Oni and Araman was standing outside, Ubalabayis Befniv, and the Balabayis was standing inside. Pasha, the Oni is Yadi Lefniv, and Asan Letoich, Yadi Shabalabayis, etc., etc., etc. A whole Mishnah. Says the Rav Bartanura, I don't understand. Why does the Mishnah have to refer to this person that's standing outside as an Oni, as an Araman? Why are we getting involved in this person's financial situation? There's one person standing inside, his name is Ruvain, and there's another person that's standing outside, his name is Shimon. He's an Ani, he's a Balabas, who cares? What does it have to do with anything? We're trying to tell us a halacha regarding Haitza. Then if you're inside and somebody else is outside, you do Akira and Hanacha, you're chayef. If you only do the Akira, only do the Hanacha, you're going to be potter. Why are we discussing an Ani and a Balabas? Says the Rav Bartanura, Dover Nifla. Lahachim nakat Haitza, Balashan Ani v'asha. The reason the Mishnah depicts the lashon of Ani and Asha is the Agav Orche Kamashmoa. Because with Derech Agav, the Mishnah wanted to teach us halacha. The mitzvah haba ba'avera asura t'vechayav and olah. The Mishnah is telling me a chiddush. This person who just carried from Rishus Hayachid to Rishus Harabim was doing a mitzvah. You know which mitzvah he was doing? He was doing the mitzvah of tztaka. So this is a Rav Bartanura. I would have thought that being that he's being the kind of mitzvah of tztaka, maybe what he did is not so gefarlach. Maybe he's not a Mechal Shabbos. Kamash Malon, the mitzvah baba veira asura v'chayav and aleo. And it's for that reason that you're going to be chayav. Freak the Tosfos Yontif. This Rav Bartanura is a pela atzuma. He says, why? Because we just learned the sugya. It's in Psochem Ayin Aleph on the base, and it's in Shabbos Kuf Lamed Zayin, and it's in Sukkah Daf Mem Aleph, and it's in Psochem Daf Ayin Beis, and Ayin Gimel. It's in so many different places where the Gemara discusses Rabbi Yeshua Sheet, and Rabbi Yossi Sheet, Rabbi Yochanan Sheet. And that is that if somebody's Tabit Var Mitzvah, if somebody is Tabit Var Mitzvah, the halacha is that he's Potter. He doesn't have to bring a Kar Mechatas. If this Yid in the Mishnah of Masech the Shabbos was being Mekai in the midst of Tztaka, and the Rabbi Artanura says he was, how do I know that? Because that's why the Mishnah is discussing an Ani at a Balabais, to teach me a Chiddush, that even though he's doing the midst of Tztaka, still he's going to be Chayiv. Then how could the Mishnah say if he did a B'shoigig, he's going to be Chayiv Chatas? When the Mishnah says Chayiv, it means Karis, it means Skila, and it means Mefurish Chatas. So if this person is Chayiv Chatas, it can't be that it was a Tabit Var Mitzvah. Because if in his mind he was doing the mitzvah of Tztaka, so it comes out he's not a Tabit Var Mitzvah. That he's a Tabit Var Mitzvah. If he's a Tabit Var Mitzvah, he should be potter for bringing the Karban Chatas. As I freak the Tosfos Yontif. And the Tosfos Yontif says a Teretz, which is Sisrei Torah, Ayin Sham, Rabbi Kiva Eger in his Agoyis on the Mishnayis, says he doesn't understand the Tosfos Yontif, but that's going to be for another day. But now, the Tosfos Yontif's Kasha. How can the Rabbi Artanura say that in the first Mishnah Masechta Shabbos, we're talking about an Ani and a Balabais to teach me a Chiddush, that even though this person that was carrying was being Mekayim the Mitzvah of Tztaka, still he's Chayiv and Chatos, if he was being Mekayim the Mitzvah of Tztaka, that means he's a Tabit Var Mitzvah. If he's a Tabit Var Mitzvah, he should be Potter from the Mitzvah of Tztaka. So when we learned Masechta's Erevin, Daf Yud Zayin, we mentioned a tshuva, an epic tshuva from the Ksav Sofer. It's an Erech Chaim. It's Simin Memches. But the Ein Beis Medrash B'lei Chiddush, we only spoke out a sliver of that tshuva when we learned the Erevin Daf Zayin. And now we're going to go through the rest of the tshuva. So the Ksav Sofer and the tshuva discussed this shayla, this question of the Tosfos Yontif. And Toich Dvarav, he says a teretz. But he prefaces his teretz with a Pnei Yeshua, which is a little bit of a digression, but it's also a little bit of a Nyana Diyoma, just to get in the spirit of things, and I think it's Kedai. We know that when Purim falls out on Shabbos, we don't read the Megillah. Why not? Zera, Shemi Yaviren, Odalan Amas, Bishus Arabim. But the truth is that that's only one pshat in the Gemara, Masechtas Megillah, Daftalan Amad Beis. Rabbah says that the reason you don't lay in the Megillah when Purim falls out on Shabbos is Zera, Shemi Yaviren, Odalan Amas, Bishus Arabim. But the Gemara brings another reason, it's Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef said, "Mipnei she'ineim shel aniyim nesuyos l'mikra Megillah." It's because the aniyim used to look forward to Mikra Megillah because during Mikra Megillah they used to collect their matanos l'avyonim. They knew there was an oilam in shul, and that's when they would collect their money. If you're going to read the Megillah on Shabbos, you're not going to be able to give tzedakah on Shabbos, so it's going to come out the aniyim are going to end up losing out. So Rabbi Yosef was worried about the plight of the aniyim. So he said, "Mipnei she'ineim shel aniyim nesuyos l'mikra Megillah." It's for that reason the halach is that we don't read the Megillah on Shabbos. Frey Tosfos, I don't understand. It sounds like from the Gemara that Rabbi Yosef is not masking to Gzeira Shemi Aviren Udal Ramas Peshas Arabim. That's why he came up with a new reason why you don't read the Megillah when Purim falls out on Shabbos. Mipnei Shei Neim Shalaniyim Nisui Islamikra Megillah. But Tosfos says it can't be. Because we know that you also don't blow Shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos. And you also don't take the Lulav when Sukkot falls out on Shabbos. Now what's the reason for that? The reason is Gzeira Shemi Aviren Udal Ramas Peshas Arabim. Here, there's no other reason. That's a svara that's exclusive to Mikra Megillah. It has no shaychus to shofar. There's no tzedakah by shofar. It has nothing to do with lulav. That's a svara that is very much mesuyim to Mikra Megillah. If that's the case, says Tosfos, if you ask Rabbi Yosef, why don't you blow shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls on a Shabbos? He's going to have to tell you, Shema Yavi Renu Dal Ramas Peshas Arabim. If you ask Rabbi Yosef, how come you don't take Dal Amino when Sukkot falls on a Shabbos? He's going to say, what do you mean? Gzeira, Shema Yavi Renu Dal Ramas Peshas Arabim. So that means Rabbi Yosef holds up the svar of Shema Yavi Renu Dal Ramas Peshas Arabim. He has to. Because otherwise, why don't you blow shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls on a Shabbos? Why don't you take Dal Amino when Sukkot falls on a Shabbos? So if he holds up the svar of Gzeira, Shema Yavi Renu Dal Ramas Peshas Arabim, why doesn't he hold up the svar of Gzeira, Shema Yavi Renu Dal Ramas Peshas Arabim when it comes to Mikra Megillah? Why is it coming up with a new reason of why you don't blow why you don't read the Megillah when Purim falls out on Shabbos? Mipnei Shalaneim Shalaneim Nisui Islam Mikra Megillah. It's a very nice reason, but you don't need it. It's 100% superfluous. It's not necessary because Rabbi Yosef Beikach has the hold of Shema Yavi Renu. Why not in Hilchas Megillah, but he has to hold it in Hilchas Rosh Hashanah. He has to hold of it in Hilchas Lulav. So being that he has to hold of it anyways, so l'chayru v'astav min onkum in Tzanayit, that's Tosfos Kashna, and Tosfos Blayt Sarach. In the past, we spoke at a Teretz Nifra from the Binyan Shlomo, Rav Shlomo HaKoyim Mivilna, the Ein Kam HaKoyim Elaharich. The Pnei Yeshua on this Gemara says a Dover Nifra. It's right here. Megillah Daf Dalun Amibes. Not even tucked away. It's right here. He says a Dover Nifra. He says, V'nirali l'chadish. He says, I want to say a chiddush that nobody said. And that is, what's pshat in Gzeira Shemi Yavirenu Dal Ramas Peshas Arabim? So if I asked you, you can't blow shofar in Rosh Hashanah that falls out on Shabbos. Why not? There's a Gzeira. Shemi Yavirenu Dal Ramas Peshas Arabim. So if you would ask me, I would say, I don't know, people make mistakes. They get confused. You know, you have a mitzvah and you're going to end up carrying. Or maybe it has something to do with the excitement to do a mitzvah. It's related to the fact that you know you have an obligation to do a mitzvah, and as a result, you may somehow, it's manei bohol, you're going to get confused, and you're going to end up by mistake carrying Dal Ramas Peshas Arabim. Says the Pnei Yeshua, I don't think so. I think this Yid, who we're worried about, Kseir Hashem Yavirenu Dal Ramas Peshas Arabim, is a grace of London. This is not some a guy who forgot it's Shabbos, he thinks it's Tuesday, it's not what's going on here. This is a London Neura. And he learned Perek Rabbi Eliezer de Mila. And he learned it well. And specifically, he learned Masechta Shabbos, Daf Kuf Lamed Aleph. Talk about Ein Beis Medrash B'loi Chiddush. How many times have we spoken about Gzeira Shemi Yavirenu Dal Ramas Peshas Arabim? This is a Chiddush Gadol from the Heilige Pnei Yeshua. Listen to what he said. So he says, we know there's a Shita, Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer holds that Machshirei Mitzvah Adoich HaShabbos. We just finished learning the sixth Perek of Masechta Pesachim. It's all coming together. Pesach is Doich HaShabbos. Rabbi Eliezer holds Machshirei Pesach is Doich HaShabbos. Milas Doich HaShabbos. Rabbi Eliezer holds Machshirei Milas Doich HaShabbos. That everybody knows. What not everybody remembers is that the Gemara says in Shabbos Kuf Lamed Aleph that Machshirei Shofar is also Doich HaShabbos. Machshirei Lulav is also Doich HaShabbos. Has Rabbi Eliezer know that? It's all Psukim. Bayoim this, Bayoim that. He learns it from Psukim. But from Psukim, Rabbi Eliezer holds, not only Machshirei Pesach, not only Machshirei Mila, but even Machshirei Shofar, and even Machshirei Lulav. That means, says the Pnei Yeshua, according to Rabbi Eliezer, it would be Mutter L'Katchila to carry a Shofar, theoretically, on Shabbos to go hit Tkiyah Shofar. If there was a din to hit Tkiyah Shofar on Shabbos, Rabbi Eliezer would allow you L'Katchila to carry it. Why? What are you worried about? Shemi Yavirenu Dal Ramas Peshas. No, it's Machshirei Rosh Shofar. Machshirei Shofar is like in Shabbos. You can take your Dal Amin. You can walk it to Shul the same way you do it on Yontif. Why? Because it's Machshirei Lulav. And Machshirei Lulav is like in Shabbos. That means, according to Rabbi Eliezer, you can do it L'Katchila. You can carry your shofar. You can carry your dal aminim. Says the Pnei Yeshua, Gzeira Shemi Yavirenu Dal Ramas Peshas Arabim is a London. This person's going to make a mistake. He remembers there's a sheet, this Rabbi Eliezer. He knows there's a din that Machshirei Shofar Adoich HaShabbos. He knows there's a din that Machshirei Lulav Adoich HaShabbos. He thinks it's mutter, and that's why he's going to do it. This is not Stam in the Welt, a person that's carrying Dal Ramas Peshas Arabim.
No, this is a person that's thought out, and this is a person that knows his ashit, as Rabbi Eliezer, and he's going to go to Katkhila, and he's going to carry his lulav, he's going to carry his shofar, dalet amos, b'shus harav. You know why he's going to do it? Because he knows there's a Rabbi Eliezer. Now, we don't pass like Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer shamuti. But you know what? There's such a sheet in the world. And because there's such a sheet in the world, if the person is vulnerable to maybe make the mistake. And that's the Gzeir Hashem Yavirenu Dalaramas B'Shus Arama. Here's the punchline. Says the Pnei Yeshua, Rabbi Eliezer holds Machshirei Shofar Zaycha Shabbos. He holds Machshirei Lulav Zaycha Shabbos. What about Machshirei Mikra Megillah? Is that Zaycha Shabbos? Of course not. Mikra Megillah is a Dindir Rabbanon. How could he have a pasuk that tells me Machshirei Megillah is Zaycha Shabbos? So being that there's no pasuk that says Machshirei Megillah is Doicha Shabbos, there's no shittas Rabbi Eliezer regarding Machshirei Mikra Megillah. That's why Yosef held there's no Gzeir Hashem Yavirenu Dalaramas B'Shus Arama when it comes to Mikra Megillah. So he said, Akasha, I don't understand. Rabbi Yosef came up with a new reason why we don't read the Megillah when Purim falls down on Shabbos. And don't tell me you don't hold of Gzeir Hashem Yavirenu, because if you don't hold of it, what about Shofar? You hold of it there. You hold of it by Lulav. Why wouldn't you hold of it by Mikra Megillah? The Teretz says the Pnei Yeshua, it's true that Rabbi Yosef holds of it by Shofar. It's true he holds of it by Lulav, but he doesn't hold of it by Mikra. What's the Svara? What can possibly be the reason? Because by Shofar and Lulav, there's a Rabbi Eliezer, and the holy site of Shema Yavirenu, now that I'm supposed to rabbi, is geboit on Shittas from Rabbi Eliezer. However, says the Pnei Yeshua, by Mikra Megillah, there is no Rabbi Eliezer. So being that by Mikra Megillah, there's no Rabbi Eliezer, so by Mikra Megillah over there, he's not going to hold of it. Just to digress for 1 second, because it's worth taking in a little bit. It's Mamish Adavra Nifla. You know, we mentioned many times when we learn Masechet Shabbos that there's a Shitas Ben Azai who holds that every time a person takes a step, every time you take a step, you're hoylech oymed kemahalech dami. That when you take a step, it's always considered an akira and anoch. Meaning, it's also on Shabbos to carry. What does it mean to carry? You can't carry Mishus Yoch, Shus Ram, Shus Ram, Shus Ayochid. You also can carry Dal Ram, Shus Ram. Then Azai says that if a person is walking in Mishus Arabim, so you walk and you put your foot up, you put it down. Every time you pick your foot up, it's an Akira. Every time you put your foot down, it's considered a Hanocha. So Rabbi Kiveger, oh, so the Tosfos in Masechet Shabbos, Daf Yamid Beis, asks Akasha that I understand. According to Ben Azai, every time you take a step, it's not a kiyun anocha. So how you ever over dal ramas b'shus harabim? Right? There's something called through it. Halach l'maych misina. You're not allowed to carry dal ramas b'shus harabim. How are you going to carry dal ramas b'shus harabim? Every time you take a step, it's a new akira, it's a new anocha. Dal ramas b'shus harabim means you did an akira, dal ramas, and then you did a anocha. If every time I walk, so there was never an akira and anocha dal ramas. Tosfos quotes the Yerushalmi that says bekoifetz. Talking about you jumped. You know you're over Havaris Dal Ramas for Sarabim by jumping 4 amas. Rabbi Kiveg asks the Kasha, he says, I understand. We will mevatel mitzvahs de Raisa and mitzvahs de Rabbanon, Shema Yavirenu, Dal Ramas for Sarabim. According to Ben Azai, the only way you can ever be over Shema Yavirenu, Dal Ramas for Sarabim is if you jump Dal Ramas. Except the only way you can be over is if you jump Dal Ramas. It's a milsa de loy shchicha. For such a person, a guy that's going to jump Dal Ramas, we will mevatel mitzvah Shofar. We mevatel mitzvahs Dal Amina, Mikra Megillah, Shema Yavirenu, Dal Ramas for Sarabim, because a person's going to jump Dal Ramas. So the Velt says, Rabbi Kiveger had an eunuch called Rabbi Leibel Eger, who became a Grosse Rebbe, and he learned by the Kotzke Rebbe. And when he went to Kotzk, so his father, Rabbi Shloimeh Eger, who had a son, Rabbi Leibel Eger. And Rabbi Shloimeh Eger wasn't so excited about the fact that his son went to learn in Kotzk. He didn't really understand what Chassidus was in those days, and he was very, very disappointed. The Velt says that Rabbi Shloimeh Eger sat Shiva on Rabbi Leibel Eger when he went to learn by the Kotzke Rebbe. The Velt also says the Kotzke Rebbe told Rabbi Leibel Eger he should go be Menachem Ovel, his father. He said, Tat is it Shiva, that's Menachem Ovel's son. Told him, go be Menachem Ovel. But this is what the Velt says. And they say Rabbi Leibel tried talking to his father, and he tried explaining to him what's going on in Kotzk, and no matter what he told him, he didn't want to hear from it. So finally he decided that he's going to write a letter to his grandfather. Zayd, Rabbi Kiveger, was already older, and he thought he was more miyushiv, and he felt that he would be able to explain to Rabbi Kiveger what's tutzach in Kotzk. So he sat down and he wrote him what's going on in Kotzk, and he said, you have nothing to be afraid of, it's not what people are saying it is. And one of the things he wrote in the letter was, he said, Zayd, when I was in Kotzk, to one of the Zaydas Kashas. And he said over this Kasha that the Zaydas said that according to Ben Azai, the only way you can be over me, Mavid Dalaramas, B'Shus HaRabim, is if you literally jump Dalaramas. So, Fake Rab Kivega, that's a Milsa Goloi Shchicha. So, why would they Mavatal Mitzvahs? So, Rab Leibel Eger said that when it was in Kotzk, I realized what the answer is. He said, because if you go to a mitzvah with such a Slavis and such a Bren, there's a chash, it's a milsim de shchicha, you're going to be so pumped to take the dalet minim and the shofar, you're actually going to jump dalet amos b'shus harabim. That's what Rabbi Leibel Eger told his grandfather. But why are we saying this? These are two completely different ways to look at Gzeira Shemi Yavired or Dal Ramas Bishus Arabim. This is the Litvish Mahalach, and then there's the Chsidish Mahalach. Right, Rabbi Leib said, what was the Ksha Shemi Yavired or Dal Ramas? What do you mean a Yidi? He knows he has to do a mitzvah. He has to be a shofar. He has to take Dal Aminim. He's so pumped. He's so excited. He's going to mama spring Dal Ramas Bishus Arabim. He's so excited. To say Yeshua said, no, it's nothing to do with someone that's excited. There's a sheet that's Rabbi Eliezer that holds Machshirei Shofars, Doichei Shabbos, Machshirei Lulavs, Doichei Shabbos, Ayin Shabbos, Kuf Lamed Aleph. We're worried that this person's going to think that maybe we paskin like Rabbi Eliezer. Talk about seeing the world two completely different ways. In Rabbi Eliezer's world, this was mamish gevald. It was Rabbi Deravin. It was such excitement. It was achonet to do a mitzvah. He's mamish flying, literally, Dal Ramas Bishus Arabim to do a mitzvah. The Pnei Yeshua said, no, the Gzeir Hashem Yavirenu is, what's eis? Doi Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Eliezer Shittas, Rabbi Eliezer the Mila. Teef in the lumbus. But either way, this is the Pnei Yeshua. We'll have to do with what we're discussing. Tabit Var Mitzvah. Just try to refocus for a second. So again, the question was, Rabbi Yosef had to come up with a new reason to say, why is it that you don't read the Megillah? When Purim falls down on Shabbos, it's Pnei Sheinayim Shalaniyim Nesuyos Lamikra Megillah. Frank tells you, why you have to come up with Pnei Sheinayim Nesuyos? Tein Peglei, Shema Yavirenu. And don't tell me Rabbi Yosef doesn't hold Shema Yavirenu, because you see, he holds a Shema Yavirenu when it comes to Shofar, when it comes to Lulav. So what was the Pnei Yeshua's teretz? Pnei Yeshua's teretz was, there's a rational explanation for why he would make this mistake. He knows Rabbi Eliezer's shita, and he thinks that's the emes. So he knows there's such a shita in the world that holds machshirei shayv, machshirei lulav, zaycha shabbos. So he actually thinks he could carry dal ramas b'shus arab, as opposed to by mikra megillah, it's nitbaz ashita. So over there, you don't have the gzeres shem yavirah dal ramas b'shus arab. So the ksav seifer brought this teretz from the Pnei Yeshua, and then he said, I want to say it a knetch differently. I want to say maybe a little bit differently, and that is as follows: a big svara. He said it could be that the reason there's a gzera shemi avirano when it comes to shofar and lulav and not mikra megillah, Tosfos Kasha, is because if you think about lulav a little bit and you think about shofar a little bit, it could be misleading. What's a lulav? It's a tree at the end of the day. A tree is mukta. Mukta is something that's not only asr on Shabbos, also asr on yontif. So how are you ever allowed to shake a lulav on yontif? It's mukta. Why are you ever allowed to do it? The shofar, you play music. I don't play music on Yantif. It's awesome. Shemi Yisach and Klishir. Afal Pin, can we blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah? Says the Ksav Sofer, Al Derech the Pnei Yeshua, but a different Knech, that's what he says. Yesh Loimar, by Rosh Hashanah and Lulav, Chazal will worry that this person's going to make a cheshbon. He says, I understand, I'm taking a tree, I'm never allowed to touch a tree. Oh, now I'm allowed to touch a tree. Oh, must be, because Lulav, all bets are off. It's like Pesach, it's like Mila. It's Doich HaShabbos. I have nothing to worry about anymore. So being that it's not something you have to worry about anymore, so over here, maybe it's going to be Mutter. And being that over here, maybe it's going to be Mutter, he's going to go ahead and he's going to take it and he's going to think that I can also carry Dal Ramas Bishus Arabim. Shofar, what do you mean? I'm taking a shofar. I'm blowing you. I can't play music. I can't play the piano. So why am I allowed to blow a shofar? Oh, must be because shofar is different. Oh, shofar is different. Maybe I'm allowed to carry a shofar, Dal Ramas Bishus Arabim. The mitzvah is going to throw you for a loop. Mikra Megillah, what am I doing? I'm just reading out of a Megillah. That's something you're allowed to do on Shabbos. You do it every Shabbos. That has nothing to do with any Isser. So being that I'm not doing anything Isser, so there's nothing throwing me for a loop. There's nothing misleading me and confusing me and making me think that maybe I'm allowed to go ahead and do it. So said the Ksav Sofer, Al Derech the Pnei Yeshua, albeit with a different punchline, it could be Rabbi Yosef is worried about Gzeir Hashem Yavirenu. But only when there's a plausible explanation for it. Only when Lulav involves Chil Shabbos. Tkiyat Shofar involves Chil Shabbos. Yet it's Mutter, so maybe I can take it to the extreme. And maybe I can even violate the Issa Deiraisa of Shemi Avirenu. Now, the guy is, of course, wrong. It's not a glat cheshmen. This is the Rabbanan, that's the Deiraisa. But there's a Svara, at least, to explain it. It can be rationalized. As opposed to Mikra Megillah, there's no Svara. Maybe that's what Yosef held over there was different. But says the Ksav Sofer, now one thing you see from this, there are times that a mitzvah can throw you for a loop. There are times where a person can violate an aver b'shoigig, and the aver that he did b'shoigig came about because of the mitzvah. The mitzvah is what created the shoigig. So here's the punchline. That's negeya our sugya. Says the Ksav Sofer, there's a halacha of tabit var mitzvah. Rabbi Yeshua said it once. He said it a second time. Maybe even said it a third time. Rabbi Yossi said it in the Mishnah Masechta Sukkah. Rabbi Yochanan said it in the end of the sixth parak of Masechtas Pesachim. There's a concept of a tabit var mitzvah. But says the Ksav Sofer, yesh loimar, the only time you have the halacha of tabit var mitzvah is when the mitzvah was what caused the person to make the mistake. So if you made a mistake as a result of the mitzvah, maybe that's when you have the halacha of Ta Bidvar Mitzvah. Du hu Toye Bidvar Mitzvah, Ta'us Haba Al Yedei Mitzvah. That's when you're going to have that halacha. So, for example, Rabbi Yossi, who said in the Mishnah in Sukkah Memalef on the base, that if somebody would carry by mistake his lulav on Sukkah Shacholayis B'Shabbos, he'd be potter, because he's a Tavid Var Mitzvah. You know why? Because could be what caused him to carry it was the fact that he knew that I'm allowed to carry it inside my house, even though it's muksa, so maybe I'm allowed to carry it outside myself as well. The mitzvah itself is what caused him to make the mistake. I mean that the mitzvah itself is what caused him to make a mistake. It's for that reason over there it's going to be mutter. So wherever the mitzvah is what's causing you to make the mistake, that's when it's going to be okay. But if a person was a shoygig, he doesn't chap today Shabbos. He thought today is Friday. He's off by one day. He thought it's Friday. And he went ahead and he did a whole bunch of mitzvahs that involved Chil Shabbos. Over there, you're not going to have the halacha of Tavid Var Mitzvah. It's true you're doing a mitzvah, and it's true you were a shaygig, but that's not Tavid Var Mitzvah. Tavid Var Mitzvah is when the Ta'us was Ba Machnas Mitzvah. The mitzvah is what threw you for a loop. But if the Ta'us is not what came as a result of the mitzvah, over there, you're not going to have to worry about it. When we went through this raid bite the first time, in the Sechtes Erev and Daf Yud Zayin, that's Hashem in the related raid bites. But when we went through this the first time, we mentioned that the Ksav Soif in the beginning of the Tshuva says a Dover Nifla. He says that Ubesoif Hakayetz Kishayisi Beir Meiladutei Shel Abba Moira Goyel Zatzal Bekilo Kedoshet the Frankfurt Domain. He says in the summer he went to Frankfurt Domain. And the reason he went there was he wanted to daven by Kivrei Avos. He said his grandfather and his grandmother, the Chassam Soif's parents, and there were different tzaddikim. By the way, one of the tzaddikim that are buried in Frankfurt is the Pnei Yeshua. So he said he went to Frankfurt and he wanted to daven by all the greatest tzaddikim. So he said he met a Yid there who knew his father. His name is Rabbi Avram Rab. And he gave him a gift. And the gift that he gave him was the Shishei Sidri Mishnah of Rav Nosson Adler. That was the present that he gave him. He gave him Rav Nosson Adler's Shisha Sidre Mishnah. And he writes over there that he was so excited about it and that he says every Shabbos morning he wakes up early and he loymed Mishnayas Mesech the Shabbos ve'erevin bin Mishnayas Hanal. And I sit and I learn Mishach Shabbos and Erevin. We spoke a lot about the minig of the Ksav Sofer Shabbos morning. That's in that other raid bite. But he said this is what he did every Erevin. And he writes over there that when he went through the Hagois or Nasana the road on the side of the Mishnayas, so he said he wrote a lot of dots. And sometimes he just says the word Sarich Iyun. It's written very bekitzer. V'tzarech hisboinenis lahavin kavanosoi. And he said it requires a lot of Iyun. It's not so simple to figure out what Rav Nosson Adler means. Now the truth is, this is very consistent with what the Velt says. And it's actually brought down, I have the Sefer, the Minhagim of Rav Nosson Adler. And they bring in the Minhagim from Rav Nosson Adler. Talmid Rav Nosson Adler's claim that Rav Nosson Adler never wrote. He never wrote. And when he wrote very bekitzer. And the reason is because Rav Nosson Adler said that he never forgot his learning. And he said the only reason you're allowed to write Torah Shabbat Peh is an Eis Lasis Lashem Heferu Torah Secha, because there's an Indian that otherwise you're going to forget your learning. Rav Nosson Adler said he never forgot his learning. And because he never forgot his learning, he held that he had no heter to write his learning. Eis Yenin. That's a whole nother shmuz. But he held that he had no right to write. And as a result, incidentally, as it relates to his shiurim that he used to give, Hayamayrich, I'm reading from the Minhagim of Rav Nosson Adler. Hayamayrich b'drashois of kishol ashois. Rav Nosson Adler's raid bites were 3 hours long. 3 hour drashes. But writing he didn't write. So the Ksav Soifer said that he was looking at the side and the Haggais. He wrote very, very bekitzer. Either way, at the very end of this tshuva, see, he says on the side of this Tosis Yontif's kasha, on the side of the kasha, he took a look at the Hagois of Rav Nosson Adler. And he wrote like this. This is actually being mayrich for the way Rav Nosson Adler used to write. He said, V'li nira, the ain kantir de kla. That was his teres to the Tosinantiv's kasha. V'li nira, the ain kantir de kla. And said the Ksav Sofer, Kavanose Ritsuya, since Poshet, what he meant to say was, is that the tztaka, somebody knocks on your door and now you're going to help him and to give him something, he doesn't throw you off your game to the degree that it's going to make you forget that it's Shabbos. And as a result, of course this person made a mistake. Oh, but the tztaka didn't cause the mistake. I mean that the tztaka didn't cause the mistake. You don't have the halacha of Tavid Var Mitzvah. Tavid Var Mitzvah is not, I didn't have Erev Shoygig, punked, I was doing a mitzvah, so memela I'm going to be potter. Tavid Var Mitzvah is when the mitzvah was goyre. Just like in the Gzeira Shemi Yavirenu, the Ksav Soifer stole through that svar. There's a concept that Rabbi Yosef holds the Gzeira Shemi Yavirenu when the mitzvah throws me off. Sometimes the mitzvah can throw you off. Either can throw you off because it can just confuse you like lulav, or can throw you off. It creates a zatirda that is manibol, like in our sugis with the tinoikis and all these different cases. But the point is when the mitzvah is what caused the shtaga, When that's what caused it, that's when it's going to be a problem. But the Tosfos asked the Kasha, he said, I understand the Rabbi Tanura. We're talking about Abayas and Anani, the Tishmi, the Chiddush, that even though you're being Mekayim, the mitzvah of Tztaka, still you're going to be Chayiv Chatos, faith of Tosfos. How can you be Chayiv Chatos? If you're doing Tztaka, you're Tabit Var Mitzvah. The Teretz is what Rav Nosson Adler said, B'lashoyne Yazov, V'linira, the ink can tear the cloud. What did he mean? That Tztaka didn't cause tear. Then why would the Tztaka have caused you to forget a Shabbos? Elamai, you forgot a Shabbos because you forgot it was Shabbos. You forgot it's Shabbos, you're going to be Chayiv Chatos. Ah, you were doing a mitzvah? That doesn't matter. If the mitzvah caused you to forget, that's when you're going to be Potter. But being that it wasn't the mitzvah that caused you to forget, said the Ksav Sofer, it was Poshit to him that this is where Nosson Adler meant. He writes V'somachti, he was so besimcha that he was Mechavim to the Greiser Rebbe. Either way, we will stop here.